You know, and I appreciate Wes's discourse, and it reminded me back in the 42 war, I was a conscientious objector, and I was fighting the government. You know, those of you who have been COs, I was fighting the government. It was easy compared to the battle that Wes described this morning. I just want to remind you that the major point that I made yesterday, major point, is the crown. There's going to be crowned losers, and there'll be crowned winners. Many are called, but few are chosen. And I said, your motivation is your destiny. Your destiny, how you will live forever and forever, forever. And we described for you what forever is. We never got to the end of it, did we? I can continue it today. So what you are doing today is going to affect your destiny for the forever period. Either you're going to be in the little flock or you're going to be in the great company. You won't have second death. I mean, if you're consecrated, unless you really goof. Their second death is not a threat. So make your choice. I gave you a model, if you remember. Can you see that? I got extra copies of this model. And I suggested to you that the secret to being in that little flock is Christ-likeness is the way to go. And I suggested to you 2 Corinthians 3:18 that if you unveil the flesh and look at the mirror, who do you see? If you see yourself, you failed. If you see the resemblance of Christ, you succeeded. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18. I got extra copies of this model for those of you who were not here. Come and see me later. Some scholars say that Peter did not write the second epistle. These scholars decided, how could a poor, uneducated fisherman without knowledge of Greek and Judaism have written such a profound prophecy 2,000 years in advance? He wrote about today. How could this poor old fisherman know about that? But these same people, if we were to ask him, how could that same fisherman that you said, how could he do it? How could he walk on water? How can he have a vision of non-kosher animals coming down and saying, eat? And Peter says, no, Lord, I won't eat that. It's not kosher. And the Lord says, eat it. And how could a man who was so much against the Gentiles confronted Paul and says, I can't preach? And Paul gave him a good runaround. And he then says, I'm preaching to the Gentiles. The explanation is Peter was changed from an inept fisherman to a brilliant apostle. Brilliant. Of the Messiah. To give such an accurate statement. I'm going to read the statement to you because some of you may not be familiar with it. It was a 2,000-year prediction from early times. It was the Spirit of God that gave him this. And that's a lesson for all of us, friends. I know it's a lesson for me. I always feel inadequate, always. But when the Lord comes into my life, I feel as if I'm going somewhere. But here's the scripture. It's in 2 Peter 3, 10 to 12. And he says this. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are in it shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the day of the Lord, in which the heavens being on fire shall discord and elements shall burn with fervent heat. Now there are six components to this prophecy, and we'll try to cover each one of those components. And if I don't get to it, if I get bogged down, I don't do everything by notes, and I sometimes just walk. I walk around, but I dare not. Isn't this being recorded or something? I can't walk around then. I can walk around? Oh, I love to walk around. But I want to use different words that was used yesterday. It gets complicated.
You can pick up the microphone and take it with you.
No. Well, let's try it. I agree with Wes Kremer in every respect that he said, those of you who are here. But I will use different words, and I have to define my words. And that's what you have up here. The first component that we have is the day of the Lord. Now, is that our time? Are we in the day of the Lord? You sound a resoundingly yes.
Yes.
We're in the day of the Lord. Now, I'll just... Can I get the... It's not coming out? Huh?
It's not cooperating.
Well, I'm all set.
Maybe you better point that thing at me.
You lost it? You had it before. In any event, turn your notes to page 3. No, that's all right, brethren. Don't fuss with that. Oh, there you are. Thank you. Thank you, brethren. If you look carefully, you'll see the second dispensation and the third dispensation. Now, those are words that Brother Russell used, and they're valid words. They're good words. But I'm going to use a different word, but I mean the same thing. I'm going to call this the second civilization, and I'm going to call this the third dispensation, civilization. Now, the word civilization has come in just recently, within the past 20 to 35 years. But it never existed in Brother Russell's day. So I'm going to define this civilization for you. Civilization is not a kingdom. But in it are kingdoms. Civilization is a broader and a bigger view. Kingdoms are just one country and one king. Civilization consists of many, and we will insist that we're talking about this third dispensation as being the third civilization, and it's the messianic civilization. The Messiah is running it. The Messiah is in charge. The Messiah is doing all these things, and we're going to get into what the Messiah is doing. But we're talking about now and in the immediate future, not far future. We don't know the far future, but we've got the trends that we have today. But we're talking about the third civilization and run by the Messiah, not Jesus. Now, I want to make that clear. Jesus fulfilled his role 2,000 years ago. Jesus was human. The Messiah is not human. When Jesus was resurrected, he was resurrected a divine being, a divine person, maybe power 50 days later. But he had a different nature. So Jesus, the human, is gone. He's dead. He paid the price. He's a redeemer. Now we have the Messiah. This is the messianic period. And he's in charge. So that's the difference between the messianic age and the kingdom. You'll never find in the scriptures any expressions, King Jesus. There's no such thing as King Jesus. You won't find it. You'll find Christ's kingdom. Christ. But Christ is not Jesus, just formerly Jesus, formerly the old position he was with God, the Logos. Remember, Jesus is just one stage of his development. It first started off with the Logos. The Logos, if you read it in Isaiah, the sixth chapter, they had a conversation between God and the Logos. And God told the Logos, I have to have somebody die for us, somebody who's willing to go and give their lives for that species that I developed. And the Logos, immediately, when he heard that, he says, here I am, send me. So it was the Logos that went to earth and was translated into Jesus, the human. And he died giving the redemptive price. But when he was resurrected, he was no longer Jesus, he was the Messiah. And so we have, this is the messianic area. Now, look carefully at these lines. You see this line coming down like this? If we drew that line all the way, we would come down over here like this, and we can draw a line over here. That's at the beginning. That's at 1874, right at that point. So he's been here since, the Messiah's been here since 1874. And if we come on with this line over here, down to the end, down to here, like this, we find the end of this period. But this is the period. You know where you are? Can anyone identify where you are? Are you here? No. You here? No. You here? Yes. This is where you are, right here. This is suggesting that the civilization of the old, the second dispensation, or second civilization, and the third dispensation and third civilization is overlapping. They are overlapped. And you'll see that you wonder what's going on in the world. What in the world's going on? You see signs of the old civilization and you see signs of the new one. I'm going to give you some of these signs. But I want you to know that it's an overlapping period. And we're in that period. And you want a good feel for that? You ever get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and look out the window? 5 o'clock in the morning and it's dark. But you know it's a new day. It's a new day, but it's dark. That's the way it is now with this period. It's a period in which they're both Both civilizations, the second and third, or dispensations, are operating together. So a civilization is comprehensive. The kings of yesterday deals with events, making decisions on events. But the civilization of the Messiah is dealing with four areas. First is culture. He's dealing with culture. You see now some of the cultural items. Same-sex marriage. Men can marry men. Women can marry women. That's a cultural aspect of a civilization. Kings of yesterday never dealt with that issue. The second is the values. Values. Kings of yesterday never dealt with that. But abortions. That's not a kingly thing, but the Messiah is going to deal with that. You got any idea how many abortions in the United States today? Over 3,000 a day. Killing babies. And the third is images. Images. They say that young people are the ones that are causing a lot of problems. The young people want freedom. Freedom to do as they like. And that means atheism, too. Atheism is on the road, is rising. There are more and more atheistic people. And that's the issue that the Messiah will deal with in here. Those things, right here. In England, the Christian churches are all going out. The Islamics are taking over, and the atheistic are taking over the churches in England. And England voted on whether they should support Obama and his fight with Syria, and they voted no. Obama yesterday went on the record where he said, "We will go ahead with it, but I want to get the Congress to agree." So they're calling in the congressional members to vote on should he strike in Syria. He said he's going to. Now, he may be playing politics here. At first he says, I'm going to do it. But if the Congress says no, he's still going to do it. This is big, brother. This is big for America. Will he do it, what the Congress says? Because there's a likely they will turn him down. So this is where we're talking about. We're in this area right here. We're not in this area yet. But the Messiah is in control. Spiritual control I'm talking about. And he came in 1870, and he's affecting changes. Let me talk about some of the things that are going on. The events of the old civilization now. In this grouping, you will see some of the things of the old civilization. Diminishing population growth. You know, there's a lot of people on planet Earth. In fact of the matter is, you know how many people has ever lived since the beginning of time? Well, you know, nobody's, only God knows for sure. But there have been estimates. Science says there have been 100 billion till the Ice Age. That's a lot of people. Brother Russell said in the first volume, page 147, he gave a figure and he says, I think it's too much. I think I'll go to 120 billion. So he's gone to 120. In my own research, we found some German professors who estimated 80 billion. So if you take a statistical average, we could say there were 100 billion people that ever lived. You know how much that is, 100 billion people? And think about the resurrection. Now, those of you who want to become members of the little flock, that's the work you're going to be doing, is bringing back these people and bringing up to God's expectations. That's your work. If you don't want that work, you should stay out of the little flock. If you want that work, then go to it. And we suggested yesterday, go to it. Paul says, seek ye immortality. Go after it. So the first sign is they're going to be diminishing. The earth is being filled. So that's the first thing that the Messiah said, that in the kingdom they don't get married, and nor are they given the marriage. The third is evacuation, the eviction of kings and one man rule. Are the kings around? They're gone. Since 1874 and 1914, they're all kings are gone. And one man, anybody who pops up as a one man rule gets thrown down. Mubarak in Egypt, and Massey in Egypt, and Syria. Oh, he's got a problem there. The people don't want him. And one-man rule are gone out. But you might say, well, what about the rest of it? The old civilization still goes on. Right now, there are five corporations, the five biggest corporations in the world, not in the United States, but in the world. I'll cite them for you. General Electric, Toyota, BP, British Petroleum, Shell, and Exxon. There's the five. Do these companies want the new civilization? You think these companies want changes in their corporations? No. They want to keep everything as it is. They're getting wealthy. They're doing what they want to do. They don't want any changes. So the Messiah has got to deal with those corporations. And you'll notice that they're all affecting automobiles primarily. There are other big corporations too. We don't have time to cite them all. In fact, it might be of interest to you that it's 500 men and women that are now recognized as sustaining this old dispensation. They're sustaining it. You're right at that point. These 500 men, I know their names. If you want to know them, come up here afterwards and you can look at it, see if your name is on it. The magazine Foreign Policy, The Power Issue. Oh, a lot of people on there. Barack Obama's on this list. The Clintons are on this list. Pope Francis is on this list. And there's a lot more. 500 men that want to keep the old civilization alone. You get the point? The Messiah has got to do something with these people. That's another sign of this period of time. Profound knowledge is increasing. It's doubling every 7 years in every field. In fact, obsolescence is a big area for the professional people. Whatever you learned in college in 7 years will become 7 years obsolete. And 14 years will be 14 years obsolete. If you've been out of school for 20 years, 25 years. The new graduates are all getting new knowledge. It's going so fast. Israel is now a nation. Israel is now a nation. It started here. 1948, they became an official country, recognized at the United Nations and the world. They are there. But they're established in 1948. Even the Sanhedrin is back. The Sanhedrin, you remember the Sanhedrin, they're the ones that condemned Jesus on the cross. The Sanhedrin is 70 rabbis that Moses set up originally. 70 rabbis, and they were the ones that are in this organization now. They were organized October 4th, 2004. And they got 7 goals. I'm going to read them to you. Because I took a group of brethren to Israel recently. And we had one of the members of the Sanhedrin speak to us. He's a fake. He gave us a lot of words, but nothing. But he still discouraged me from getting their 7 goals. This is what the Sanhedrin want to do. Now, keep in mind that that's this point here. Now, to what extent the Messiah is working with that, I don't know. But here it is. The first is they want to build a temple back on the Mount of the Mount. You know that famous globe that they have there, golden globe? That's not Israeli, you know. That's not Islamic. That's Islamic. And it covers a big stone. Huge stone. I was there. Mary and I were there. We went into that mosque. And there's they have a little room underneath the big stone. It's a huge stone. You know what that stone is? The Jews say it was the stone that Abraham used to offer Isaac in sacrifice. Remember that incident? The Islamics say, no, that was Abraham offering Ishmael. Ishmael. So here we have two stories. The Islamics with their Ishmael offered on the stone, and the Jews with Isaac offered on the stone. Now we, because of the Bible, we believe in the Jews. But the Islamics say that's Ishmael. And therefore, nobody's going to agree with that. And the Sanhedrin that we just saw organized, they want to remove all the undetestable items from the Temple Mount. So they have to get rid of that. Can you imagine them trying to get rid of that with all the Islamics regarding that as a religious relic? Another one that will perform, you'll wonder whether they're in. But these are goals that they're going to bring back all the 12 tribes of Israel. All 12, remember the 12 tribes, they're going to bring them all back, all the lost tribes. The lost tribes of Israel are going to be brought back wherever they are. They were assimilated during the Assyrian invasion. 10 of them, I think, were. Only 2 was left. I'm getting these figures straightened out. 10 of them were assimilated. They want these assimilated Jews throughout the world to come back to Israel. Now you can imagine the implication of that and the land that they need for all that, because it was a big country. Let me give you some other goals that they have. They want to make the decision when the Messiah has arrived, because they don't believe in Jesus being the Messiah. So they want to make that announcement when it comes. And incidentally, there is a trend Jews for Jesus is a trend. And Jews for Jesus are growing. They will make the moral judgments for the state of Israel, which means that they will be the high court of Israel, taking it away from the parliamentary people in Israel now. They want to make the judgments. They will remove all detestable items from the Temple Mount, which means removing Islam. Now, can you imagine the implication of what that means? If they remove that, wow. Islamics are going to... There's 22 countries Islamic. Seven rabbis are now in the Sanhedrin. Now, we're trying to describe the old civilization going out. Intelligent design is being established more and more. Yes, even the scientists are saying there is order and design to the universe. It's a runaway universe that is exploding, still continues. And between dark energy and dark matter, these bodies don't collide. They're held in position as a runaway universe. And space is being created. It wasn't that they run away in an existing space. It's being created as it goes along. I got to be careful because I got a sister here who's studying astronomy. I hope I get my concurrence from her. Okay. State of new natures and new cultures. All the governments have got to go. The government's got to go. And we'll later on, if we get to it, because you got my notes. If I don't get to it, you still can read them. In the... In the area of the army of the Lord, the Lord's great army. Who is the great Lord's great army? Who is it? It's the people. They're not officially the Lord's great army, but they are going to work for God by removing their governments. And you see that happening already now with Egypt. Massey was voted in legally. That was a legal president. But they're ignoring the legality. And there's a fight in Egypt over that. But you'll see that in all the countries in Syria. Will it be here too? Well, we got some problems here, you know. I took the time to look at a magazine, a paper right here in Jackson to see what's happening to the great Lord's great army. Now keep in mind now, the Lord's great army is not an official army, but it's an unofficial army that is going to rebel against the government and bring down the governments, which is still a part of this, part of the society. Now, here's the cover of this magazine, local magazine. The first one, the feds mellow on state pot laws. There's an argument between the federal government and the states. The states don't want marijuana. The federal government has said that those of you who don't want it, you're respected, but those who don't want it, you don't have to have it. Marijuana is used for both medical and recreational. Both those things. That's one item. Another item here, the United States have to stand alone against Syria. Well, Obama has already declared yesterday, last night, in fact, he said that we are going to attack, but I want the Congress to officiate it. So that's another one. Down here, married gays can file jointly. They can save money that way, like husband and wife. That's just the first one. I got to bring out a good one. This is from one paper. 44 million resources on the pensions. Now, many of you know Detroit is bankrupt, which that means is they can't pay their bills. One of the bills is the pensions. They can't pay the pensions, so get the pensioners to agree on a reduction. The union said no. So that's the problem with Detroit right now. Detroit can't pay their pensions, and the unions are saying you must get it from the federal government. And the federal government won't be able to do this because the Congress won't accept it either. Incidentally, Chicago is next with bankruptcy. Watch out for your pensions. Keep some money in the mattress. Almost every sheet you can find something that will involve the furloughs coming to an end. They furloughed employees. And it's interesting. They furloughed them and paid them while they're being furloughed. Oh, I got a lot more of it. Oh, here's one on Brazil. This is all the world. Brazil, women there in Brazil have a device that you can push the button and it sounds off. This is an attempt that she needs help. Somebody is doing something to her. Either she's being raped or she's being forced into something. And so they got these things. All the women are getting them in Brazil. It's a Brazil that you hang and you push the button and police come. I think what I'm making is Britain is one on Britain. Will not join the strike on Syria. They say that's not a war for us. What I'm saying is the Lord's great army is the people against their government. And in that process, the army will destroy the governments. They will become divisive, and it's at a time when we have anarchy, which I will get to very shortly, and Armageddon. Okay. Breathtaking technologies is emerging right at that point. Again, I want to say we're talking about this era. But remember, this area is in the day of the Lord. It's in the day of the Lord and the third dispensation. Breathtaking technologies, just to make a point. You go to the supermarket, you ever see those strawberries, how they are, how big they are? They're no longer small. They're huge. Some are as big as plums, and some are becoming as big as apples. Strawberries, big as apples. Genetic engineering's for that. And genetic engineering will take a 9-inch fish, cod, or salmon, 9-inch, and make it 3 feet. I'm just citing a couple of technologies. High-tech Boeing aircraft has designed a missile that can go 3,000 miles an hour and can hit any spot on Earth in 1 hour. And there is the beginning of that spacecraft for planet travel. Globalization of one world. If the Messiah is doing anything, it is preparing for this a one world. He wants a one world. No two cultures or three cultures. One culture, one world, and by that it means now the values are going to be appraised. We set up Bush as an example of it. The images, the policies, there'll be messianic policies in this period of the messianic civilization. Let's see if I have any more here. Times of refreshing with medical and hospital and pharmacies. That's in here. There's never been a time when the number of hospitals and the number of pharmacies, all in here, which is in the third civilization. Never, in fact, I interviewed a manager of a pharmacy. I says, tell me about your products here. How many items do you have? He says, we have about 20,000 items. I says, how do you separate them? Well, 10,000 is for comfort reasons, and 10,000 is for medical reasons. What are the comfort reasons? Oh, like a dark glasses. You go to a pharmacy to get those dark glasses. And the medical, of course, is prescriptions. These are all over the world. This has never happened before. Okay, on page 5 of your notes, if you're following, we give you a sample of this same plan. Like I said, it's the same thing as this page 5, but I use different words maybe at different times. I will talk about Christ's kingdom is the day of the Lord, the messianic civilization. It started in 1874, and we are now 2014. We're 140 years into the day of the Lord. Page 6. What is the invisible Messiah doing in his second presence? Well, we cover the first two. Getting rid of the old civilization. Well, that's going to take time because you got these 500... people, 500 organizations that are holding that up. And he's getting rid of the monarchs and the one-man rule. The third item, he's collecting the spirit-begotten church and preparing for their uniting together. You know, we got a pretty good attendance today. But I think you have to understand it's unusual. I don't know, maybe in the Midwest, yeah, but in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New York, it's dwindling. The classes are getting smaller. The brethren are dying off. We are experiencing the end of the high calling. You may be the last ones of the high calling. I do believe it's one more generation will be the last one. You don't see too many young people. I see a lot of young people back there. I know them. They're all French, from the France. And you don't see too many young people coming in. You see that? Even the Spirit of God, the begettals, the baptism, they're getting less and less. So we're experiencing at this point the shrinking of the high calling, changing of the weather. El Nino, La Nina, and Tiramisu are evidences of a change in weather. California has just experienced the greatest fire in their history. In their history, California. The glaciers up north are all melting. Newfoundland, I don't think, has any more ice anymore. Do we take those things for granted, brethren? Or is there something behind that? I think it's the Messiah. The Messiah is reaffirming some of the things necessary for setting up his civilization. White man's supremacy is going out. The black man, the brown man, the yellow man is coming in. And don't be I guess you were surprised when Obama became president of this country, because that's an unusual thing. But you can expect the black man is coming in, the brown man, and the yellow man. Okay. I'm on 2, page 7. Again, the second aspect of the prophecy is the Messiah comes in as a thief in the night. Now, the important aspect of that is unknown and unobserved and can't be identified. Well, the nominal Christendom can't pick this up because they expect Jesus to come back. You'll see everything they talk about. Austin and all the rest of them. They talk about Jesus returning. Jesus is not returning. He died 2,000 years ago. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is returning. Now, Jesus said this in John 14:19. The world seeth me no more. Now, we can't see Jesus. You know why? He was a human. He's no longer human. The Apostle Paul says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And the Lord God in Exodus 32:20 says, no man can see God and live. No man can see the divine nature and live. No human can do that. So one world means all governments got to leave. And who's going to get rid of them? The Lord's great army. The people themselves are saying, we don't like what you're doing. There'll be one peace and no wars. There'll be one technology, no exceptions. One law, one economy. One humanity, one faith. Well, let's go on to number 3, which is page 10, if you're following. Page 10. Heavens pass away. Now, is Peter saying that God's heavens going to pass away? No. He didn't mean that. There are 5 applications of heaven in the scriptures. 5. One is the spiritual heaven. The second is the starry heaven. The third is the atmospheric heaven. The fourth is the visionary heaven that Paul received. And the fifth is the ecclesiastical heavens. Well, that's interesting. The ecclesiastical heaven is where Satan was. So what Peter is saying is the ecclesiastical heaven will pass away. Satan is going to get rid of this. The Messiah is going to have to bound him up and keep them away from the civilization they're trying to develop. You'll notice at the bottom of page 10, the New Jerusalem comes out of God and comes down and will establish itself in the atmosphere of the global earth. And that's where Christ and his church will be to effect the Messianic kingdom. I'm on 4, page 11 now. Peter says there will be noise. I interpret noise as anarchy. There will be anarchy. If anything, noises, confused sounds, no clarity of sounds, harsh uproars. Well, that's what we find about anarchy. People not obeying the law. Well, we got two states, the federal government and North Carolina, arguing them between the two of them about Obama, even Obama's law, health law, debate. And North Carolina says they don't want the Obamacare law. They already made that position clear and against the federal government. Now, I've got several things on page 11 that you can go through, and you'll get that listing. You got that listing there. But we said they will rid the kings and one-man rule, and they will rid the 500 power people that are in the earth. China and Asia will go west. Now, in the scriptures, we find that Euphrates is always thought of as the line between east and west. And the Revelation talks about the kings of the east will cross the Euphrates. The kings of the east. I would interpret the kings of the east as China and India. And India is already Islamic. China's atheistic. Oh, we went to China just recently, you know. They asked us to lecture to some of the people there, some of the students. Oh, are we that?
Oh, I'm giving you five.
Oh. Oh, I just want to tell you about China. We were invited to speak to the students there. Five universities invited us. One was Shanghai University, another was Beijing University, the third was Shandong University, and Julian, and there was another one that I don't know, they brought us to it. But five universities invited us to speak to the university. But I was alerted early by Hank Wang, our friend. He says, don't use the word God or Jesus. I said, why? Because they don't want anybody coming in preaching to them. I says, oh, okay, I won't use the word God. I'll use Jesus. I'll use some other words. And would you believe it? The night before I was to begin my lecturing, this great big man, huge, with a black suit, comes walking in for dinner. He just comes in and sits down. And the dean, at which I was sitting next to the dean, and she looked at him, and she just dropped her head, and I didn't hear a peep from her after that. He was the president of the Chinese Communist Party. And after we ate, he came up to me. He says, I understand you're one of the professors that will be speaking tomorrow. I says, I am. He says, do you mind if I sit in? I says, no, you're welcome. You're invited. I didn't know you wanted to come. Come. I didn't think he would come. You believe it? He came. And he was out, the president of the Communist Party in China. He was out to see if I was going to say God and Jesus. I talked about the Apostle Paul being a good marketing manager. I talked about Solomon being a good construction engineer, because he's the one that built the temple. And I talked about others in similar fashion, but we never talked. And he came to me, and I said, how'd you like it? He says, I thought it was a good lecture. President of the Communist Party. But what we're saying, and in summary here, that I've already touched on the Lord's great army. They will be the people against the governments. You're going to see a lot of that. And just one point about the elements melt with fervent heat. There's a debate even amongst the Bible students. Will there be a nuclear war, nuclear power elements? We don't know for sure. My own opinion is there will be some. I don't think it'll be total because the half-lives of cycles of these nuclear fissions won't allow it. But there will be some. And don't worry about it. The little flock will be off the earth by that time. But the elements burning up, we interpret, is that Armageddon is going to be a huge war, a huge problem. It's going to be, Armageddon is a good word for Armageddon. It's going to be purging of all the old civilization. God is going to do that. God is going to wipe it right out. And with that, I'm going to end by saying, on page 17, 15 key expectations of God's. To be holy as God is holy. Jesus was holy as God was holy. You must be holy as God is holy. Sinless is a good definition of holiness. Sinless. No sins. And we thank you for that.